Hi everybody, and welcome to worship. I guess I've got some mixed emotions today. This is the last of these services that I will be collating as moderator of the General Assembly. Next weekend sees the installation of our new moderator, Jim, Lord Wallace, and I know that you will give him all the support that I've enjoyed during this last year. In terms of digital worship and so on, it was my predecessor Colin who got things started during that first lockdown. Colin produced messages every day, including on Sundays, and what a fantastic job he did. For my part, I was installed in the middle of May, and then just two Sundays afterwards came Pentecost Sunday, a day that is celebrated across the length and breadth of the church, the coming of the Holy Spirit, a day when we acknowledge that we are all together as followers of Christ, one in the Spirit. And so it seemed right to me that there'd be a national service that we could enjoy together, reminding us that we are part of something more, not just in our own small corner of the kingdom. What a joy it was that many, many tens of thousands of folks engaged with that Pentecost service. And then during the summer holidays, the October holidays and the Christmas holidays, I offered what was called digital pulpit supply, really saying to ministers and others responsible for leading worship, listen, here's a chance for you to have a break. Here's a service that you could offer online to your congregations. I'm glad that many benefited from that. Well, when it came to Christmas, of course, it was announced to us that a second lockdown was coming, a second wave that required it. And so a decision was taken that we would continue to produce online Sunday services for the duration of the lockdown. That went from the beginning of January, and here we are now in the middle of May. There was never any expectation or requirement that people use these services, and many churches had no need of them. They were managing quite well. But I've been delighted to hear from many that it was just what they needed, the right thing at the right time. I'm very glad of that. You know, my part in it all was the easy part, just planning out the themes, really, and then inviting people to take part and to lead. I know I could have done it myself easily enough, but it was much more of a privilege and I think much more enriching that many folks were involved. Yes, folks from Stornoway to Shetland to the south of Scotland and everywhere in between, and actually further afield too. John McCulloch, our minister in Jerusalem, preached on one of those occasions. So there were ministers, there were readers and OLMs, there were hospital chaplains, prison chaplains, youth workers, children's workers, elders. Oh, I hope I've not missed any out, but I really did want to bring all of us together in these services of worship. And I hope to some extent that that's what was achieved. Each week in the introductions, I've said something like this: thank you to those who did the technical work behind the scenes. But it would be completely remiss of me on this, the last of these Sundays, not to spend a little longer saying thank you to the technical team. As I said, my part was a delight. They had the hard work, often the hurdles to overcome, challenges to face, and always with deadlines. And remember that they were doing these services over and above what they were doing for their own congregations. Well, I rejoice that people are so willing to serve, so willing to use their gifts and talents, so willing to put the church first, and in so doing, to enable worship of God. Brilliant. Thank you to them. Let me name them. Of course, we had Graham, we had Brian, we had Jason and Louise, and we had Jonathan. You folks did an amazing job. And I, on behalf of the whole church, thank you for everything that you brought to it during these recent months. So, with these introductions, let us now do what we have gathered to do. Let us worship God together.
rejoice, the Lord is King. Your Lord and King adore. Mortals give thanks and sing and triumph evermore. Lift up your heart, lift up your voice, rejoice again. Jesus, the Savior reigns, the God of truth and love. When he had purged our stains, he took his seat above. Lift up your heart, lift up your voice, rejoice again, I say, take his servants up to their eternal home. We soon shall hear the angel's voice, the trump of God shall sound. Rejoice, rejoice again, I say, rejoice.
Let's pray together. Let's praise our God for his amazing gift of love in Jesus, a perfect love that casts out all fear. Lord, for love which liberates us to ask questions and explore, to express our doubts and welcome new ideas, and to live with ambition as we build kingdom. Thank you, God of adventurous love, for the love that enables us to respect our own existence, to reflect and remember, to recognise our own needs, and reaffirm the purpose of our life of faith. We thank you, God of determined love, for love that helps us to communicate with one another, to express trust and respect, share heartaches and vision, to convey love and mercy. We thank you, God of reconciling love, for love that inspires us to cheer on those around us, to build up, to comfort and grow in faith together. We thank you, God of nurturing love, for love that encourages us to express our faith, for scripture and prayers, for hymns and stories told and retold, for Bible studies and sermons. We thank you, God of fulfilling love. And above all, we thank you for a love which we cannot wholly capture in words. And yet, it speaks of our trust in Jesus, of our reason to worship our Heavenly Father and to be grateful for the inward work of the Holy Spirit. Lord God, we thank you for the words that Jesus gave us, that we might speak of love's effect in our lives as we become salt and light in his name, in this world that needs his love. Amen.
Hello everyone, my name is Cassie and I'm the children's and youth worker at New Haven Church in Edinburgh. It's wonderful to be with you here today as we look a little bit more into today's passage. And I wonder where you are today. I wonder what you can smell. I wonder what you can hear. I can hear trains. I wonder if you've just had a meal. What did it taste like? Well, this might seem very funny to think about before looking at the Bible, but today's passage is interesting. We get a conversation between Jesus and God, and part of this conversation is looking at how the followers of Jesus experience the world. And one really obvious way we experience the world is through our senses. And well, Jesus wasn't really talking about the five senses here when he was asking God to protect his followers. He was saying that they were in a world that didn't understand who they are and hated them even. A very strong word. And we wonder why people hated them. And we wonder why people sometimes dislike Christians today. And there could be lots of reasons. It's not simple, but one thing I realize is that when you follow Jesus, you see the world through a different lens. I don't know about you, but I wear lenses. They help my eyes to focus the light correctly so that I can see detail and read and write and look into the distance. And well, you might want to join me and pause here to see what different ways we can see the world with different lenses. So I've got this pair here that make everything look like rainbows. And this makes everything look really pink. This makes everything look really strange. Not sure you can see. Yeah. I wonder if you might want to have a play around with that. So, what was so different about the lens through which Jesus' friends saw the world? Well, they saw something special. They saw the lens through love. That was their lens, God's love. They saw the world as God saw it, or they tried to, both broken from sin, that's walking away from God, and they saw its beauty, and they understood that God had sent them not to judge the world, but to love it and to show that love to everyone, to obey the command to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind and your strength, to love your neighbor as you love yourself, to not do that on your own, but with God's help. To love because he first loved us, and it was a love so strong that Jesus would die on the cross. And as Jesus says in this passage, he wouldn't be remembered for that death, he would be remembered for the resurrection that conquered death and restored that relationship forever between God and humans. And God doesn't ask us to enter the world and find the wrong things and judge them. He asks us to play a part in that restoration, to bring wholeness, to bring healing, to show his lens of love to other people. And that it's through that lens and nothing else, through knowing Jesus, that the rescue plan will be fulfilled. And he wants each and every one of us to join in with that. And so Jesus didn't ask for his friends to be removed from the world and all of its pain and suffering, to live an easy life after he died and rose again and then went back to heaven. He said, "No, God, I want you to protect them, because I want them to stay here and keep doing this work." And, do you know, we're in 2021. It's been nearly 2,000 years since Jesus spoke those words. And our mission is the same. If we believe in Jesus, we are to be God's hands and feet, see the world through the lens of God's love, recognizing all of its brokenness, but wanting deeply for it to be healed and restored, and in our actions, doing the best we can with God's strength to do that. I wonder if you can join me this week, maybe in a small way, in recognizing the world through the lens of God's love, and thinking about and acting on what can you do to treat the world and love the world as God loves it. That's all from me. Take care.
We long for Him. I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine. And glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by that name you gave me. None has been lost, except the one doomed to destruction, so that Scripture would be fulfilled. I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated me, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them, I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. Amen.
Let the church never be an escape from the world and from all its challenges. How could we think that it might be when Jesus in his prayer specifically says, "My prayer is not that you take them," that is his followers, "out of the world." So if not out of the world, then very certainly in it, in all of its complexity and confusion, corruption and chaos, in its weariness and wanting, its waiting and wilting, and in its wonder and joy, its blessings and delights. Yes, the life of the Christian, the one who would follow in the way of Jesus, is to live in the world, this world, to never be afraid of getting our hands dirty or to imagine that our calling means that we've to keep ourselves apart from the lepers and tax collectors and sinners of our day. We have a gospel to proclaim, as the old hymn puts it. There's good news for the poor to announce and to enact. There's the whole business of sight to the blind, liberty to the captives, and jubilee. And I'm guessing that to act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly require of us that we be in the world, where people are. Each morning I use the Lectio 365 devotional app, and the closing prayer each day says this: Father, help me to live this day to the full, being true to you in every way. Jesus, help me to give myself to others, being kind to everyone I meet. Spirit, help me to love the lost, proclaiming Christ in all I do and say. I can't do any of that if I'm removed from the real life of the world. That's where we're meant to be, in the world. But For as long as life is in the world, Jesus prays for us. And the whole of John chapter 17 is given over to such a prayer. Friends, I really hope you'll let that truth sink in and not skip by it. Because here's the thing. As Jesus prayed for that first group of his followers, so he still prays for us now. The 20th verse of the chapter says as much. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray for those who will believe in them through their message. That's us. And in the letter to the Hebrews, it's put this way, that Jesus lives forever to intercede with God on our behalf. Us, his children, his followers. Can you just let that sink in for a moment? That Jesus is at the Father's side praying for you. Right now, without ceasing, in your situation, in the circumstances you're wrestling with right now, Jesus is praying for you according to your needs and knowing these better than you yourself do. Doesn't that fill you with a deep and comforting sense of peace? That Jesus is praying for you as he did for his first followers? But see that specifically, Jesus prays for two things. Firstly, that the Father would keep us safe from the evil one. And secondly, that we might be sanctified. Look, folks, I'm not sure what you make of this kind of language, whether it be the evil one or the devil or Satan or whatever. Of course, some want to dismiss it altogether. Superstitious nonsense belonging to a bygone age when people believed pretty much anything and everything. If that's you, let me point you to C.S. Lewis's The Screwtape Letters, a warning against dismissal. And yes, C.S. Lewis, one of the great philosophical minds of the 20th century, always worth listening to. I think of it this way. If there is an up, there is a down. If there is warm, then there's cold. If there is in, then there is out. If there is good, then there is evil. If there is love, there is hatred. If there is light, then there is darkness. It seems to me then not to be a ridiculous leap that those of us who acknowledge God would at the same time recognise the reality of the evil one of whom Jesus spoke of in the prayer. But let's strike the right balance here. I was once in a Bible study group and a member of the group confessed that she often fell asleep while reading the Bible and it was the devil to blame. She was asked, "When do you do your Bible reading?" To which she replied, "Late at night, once I've gone to bed." It was then gently pointed out to her that maybe she was falling asleep because she was overly tired and that reading the Bible earlier in the day might be more profitable. Let's be on our guard against the evil one, as Peter's first epistle advises. But let's not blame the evil one for all that which is our responsibility. Well, for me, I'm going to hold on to Jesus' prayer that he prays for protection from the evil one. And the second part of what Jesus prays, that we be sanctified as we are sent into and are living in the world. One of my favourite bands in my late teens was the Glasgow outfit Simple Minds. One of their hits was a song called Sanctify Yourself. Can you do that? Can you sanctify yourself? Jesus prays that the Father would sanctify us by the truth of his word. The meaning, I think, is this. that we be holy. Now, it's a crying shame that the word holy has become pretty much an insult. Be that as it may, the meaning of it is that we be different, that we be prepared to march to a different drumbeat, that we be ready to choose the right thing when it might not be the most popular option, that we be willing to choose the path less travelled. And that alternative, often countercultural way, is shaped by the truth of the Father's word. Jesus prayed, "Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth." So to be sanctified, to be a follower of Jesus in the world, where we're called to be, is to live a life shaped by the word of the Father. Or we might say, is to look at Jesus' life and say, "Lord, by your amazing grace, help me to live that way." As Jesus gave thanks for his first followers, he did so saying, "For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them." Brothers and sisters, as Jesus prays for us, even now, let it be that he will be praying, as he did for Peter and Andrew and James and John and Thomas and Philip and Nathaniel and Mary and Martha and Mary and Joanna and Susanna, "Father, I gave them your word and they accepted it." Let it be so. Amen.
Loving and living God, hear our prayers. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you that in your faithfulness to us, you overwhelm us with grace, with mercy, love, and all that we need. We pray that we always would return to you and give you our thanks and praise. So for the gift of faith in all of its power, in its simplicity and in its complexity, we thank you. For the gift of faith bestowed on us who simply come with hearts open in humility, we give you our thanks. Loving and living God, for the church that bears your name, that the world may know we are your disciples, for the love we have for one another, hear our prayers today. For leaders of nations and all in positions of authority, may their lives be marked by love and Christ-like service. For all who are living in any form of oppression, may they find freedom in you and in all that you have promised. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers for those who will go to bed hungry tonight, and for those of us who have so much that we would learn to share your generous gift. For those who are bereaved and for those who mourn, that the presence of Christ would bless them and keep them. In your mercy, we give you thanks for all your goodness to us. Sanctify us through Jesus Christ, our Saviour, today and always. Amen.
Friends, let me be really contentious and suggest that there will be nobody sharing in this service who loves Scotland more than I do. Well, how's that for a way to start an argument? I don't mean it, I know that many of you will. But here's the thing, I'm so convinced that God loves Scotland. Its places, its people, and everything that makes up our nation here. And so, given that this is the last of these shared services, I thought it would be very apt to finish with the brilliant Fishy Music song, "Jesus Walks Beside Us in Scotland." Let's remember that and hold on to that and believe in it and live it out.
By the macker and the bogs, on the roads and the paths of Scotland, on the islands and the hills, in the forests and the fields, in the crannies and the nooks of Scotland. Wherever we come from, wherever we're going, Jesus walks beside us in Scotland. Whatever we're facing, whatever we're feeling, Jesus walks beside us in Scotland.
In the schools and the jails, in the castles and the crofts, in the shops and the schemes of Scotland, in the stadiums and kirks, in the villages and towns, in the bingos and the chip shops of Scotland.
Wherever we come from, wherever we're going, Jesus walks beside us in Scotland. Whatever we're facing, whatever we're feeling, Jesus walks beside us in Scotland. And the downs, in the yeses and the noes, in the twists and the turns of Scotland, in the old and the new, in the haves and the nots, in the dreich and the dry of Scotland. Wherever we come from, wherever we're going, Jesus walks beside us in Scotland. Whatever we're facing, whatever we're feeling, Jesus walks beside us in Scotland. Wherever we come from, wherever we're going, Jesus walks beside us in Scotland. Whatever we're facing, whatever we're feeling, Jesus walks beside us in Scotland.
That's us, folks. So it's over and out. Or more importantly, go in peace. And may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you all this day and forevermore. Amen. Thank you for being with us.